You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is your host, Richard McCall, here in Mompos, Colombia, Mompos Bolivar, up here, 5 hours south of Cartagena on the Colombian Caribbean coast. It's 38 degrees, it's early in the morning, and Electricaribe has shut off the power once again. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't come and visit. But I'm up here in Mompos in my own little niche up here. This is episode 193. What you can hear in the backgrounds are, of course, tropical sunbirds, songbirds even, and the generators that everyone has plugged in right now to at least make sure that their ventilators and their fans are running in this heat. But this is episode 193, and I've got a very special guest back on the show, Simon Winograd, who's originally from, well, he's originally from Bogota, but grew up in Michigan, now lives in New York. He was on the show, so if you want to hear more about him, back almost 13 months ago, episode 142, but he's back on the show today, having moved back to Colombia to, well, it's a fascinating story, really. We're talking about developing faculty-led programs for U.S. students, and he's there in Bogota with a student also on this, on one of these trips, and so it's like a case study we're going to be talking about of, you know, good news type things. So, Simon, welcome back on Columbia Calling.
Hey, Richard. Thanks so much for having me again. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, it's a pity we haven't been able to meet up in person again, but our lives seem to be so divided and busy at the moment. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing back in Bogota.
Yeah, so I've been back here for about a month now, I foresee our paths crossing as I foresee us... I see a lot of your photographs popping up in Chapinero, where I'm at. So, I think we'll cross paths eventually. But back here in Colombia, in Bogota, and sort of back and forth between here in the U.S., back and forth between Colombia and New York City, and working to essentially put Colombia on the international education map by developing and facilitating international study abroad programs. And so sort of serving as the face of an organization here that's based in Colombia called the Colombian Project. That's their main office is based in Cali. And I am the face in the United States, working with institutions of higher education to bring students from the US, college students, university students, interns and things like that to the great country of Colombia, and it's going really well.
That's fascinating. In fact, I do know the Colombia Project. I do know Brian down there in Cali.
Brian. Okay.
Yeah, busy guy. Always got his finger in a few pies, but busy guy.
Yeah, they're all really busy and lots of exciting stuff happening. So that's great.
No, it's but definitely good to be set up with them because they're go getters. But tell me, so listen, this is a very very interesting possibility because I see this as growing in Colombia, certainly as the country opens up and the reputation, justifiable in some circumstances, but the reputation becomes improved, let's say, in the U.S. media and of course across college campuses across the U.S. and Canada and so on. What kind of things are you looking into organizing, or are you already organizing?
Good question. Well, like you said, I mean, I've heard you refer to Colombia before as, you know, sort of this sleeping giant, and I think we all can see that. I mean, there's just so much potential with this country in terms of international education, study abroad programs, that it's there's just so much potential. And, you know, there's sort of a shift in international education going on, at least within the United States, where institutions are moving away from sort of your standard, semester abroad program to more of these what are called, short-term programs, short-term faculty-led programs. There's a lot of different terminology, language that gets thrown around. But what I'm focusing on is these shorter-term programs. So say, a group of students from a university want to come for anywhere from, say, 10 days on like a spring break type scenario to a month-long program. And we're looking through to essentially work with study abroad departments, faculty members who, usually the way they can work is that a faculty will approach us with an idea, a faculty member who teaches conflict resolution or conflict transformation and says, what better place to study these matters than in a country like Colombia? And then we will work with them in devising it and exactly what they're looking for. A lot of times it will actually be like, a faculty member who essentially just wants a free trip to Colombia, and we sort of have to guide them and rein them in and say, okay, what's your real sort of motive for this trip? And we're only looking to facilitate academically themed programs. So, I mean, there's the potential is limitless, aside from, say, conflict transformation. But as you well know, Richard, there's a burgeoning media arts scene. There's, the wildlife biology here, ecology, the sort of hard sciences potential is just unmatched here in Colombia. So essentially we're looking to flush out all those subject matters and really put together just unique, academically themed programs that, you can find similar programs in, say, neighboring Peru or Ecuador or Costa Rica, but we all know that Colombia has really unique opportunities for this sort of thing.
I can see that working immensely, and in fact, this is what I did. Just the last week, I was able to address some students. They were high school students, in fact. I guess they were going into their final year on a New York Times travel experience down to Colombia, and most of them had signed up and written essays about conflict resolution. They were all coming down for that kind of thing, and so I guess they're spending about 12 days down here and traveling a bit around and seeing some of the transformations in the country. But I think, that was a tiny, tiny group, just one of so many that can come. And I just think one of the other things is tourism as well. For those people studying business and tourism and anything along those lines would be so interested, because Colombia really is a clean sheet. It's a blank slate in terms of these sort of things. Yes, they exist in Peru and Costa Rica, but now's the time. If you want to come in at the ground level and really get your teeth sunk into something meaty, Colombia is the place, in my opinion.
I would wholeheartedly agree, and I think it's just going to become, it's for us who've sort of made it our life's work to be Colombiophiles and just read about it as much as we can. It's like no other. Every day something is changing. Every day, depending on what publications you're reading, English and Spanish, it's just constantly changing, and it's really exciting. And I think we want to share that with students, with tourists, and again, the language becomes a little bit sort of tricky when you're talking about tours and trips, as opposed to what we like to use language like courses and programs, because what we're really trying to promote and share with people and students is more of the programs, the courses, and move away from the photos of students ziplining and things like that, which will definitely complement our programs with all the fun stuff that Colombia has. But we're really looking to administer academically rich and programs with lots of academic merit. So.
Excellent, excellent. So let me know a little bit about this. I mean, you have a background in international development, and I think this really feeds into it too. So you've got your contacts within these universities. What kind of universities? Which universities are really the ones who are interested so far? Have you got a database that you're saying, listen, now, yeah, it's Southern California, they love Colombia, or New York loves Colombia? Is there any specific universities in mind?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it's very regional there in the United States. you know, a lot of universities have, for example, my alma mater, I went to the University of Montana in Missoula, Montana, which is, you know, they have lots of similar programs, you know, whether it's trekking, mountaineering in Peru, or, you know, studying sustainable, you know, sustainable tourism in Chile. And these are sort of some of the universities that we've been targeting, you know, these universities that have, you know, perhaps more, a little bit more of an adventurous spirit, like the University of Montana, just because I do have contacts there, but also, you know, universities like, you know, in New York City, for example, like, Columbia, actually, Columbia University. And for, you know, journalism students there who want to come down and sort of, you know, witness firsthand this burgeoning media arts scene and journalism. And I think, you know, you being a journalist, Richard, can appreciate sort of just the differences between, say, journalism here in the country like Colombia versus, you know, journalism in the U.S. or journalism in the U.K. or journalism in Canada, because they are different. There's different styles. They report different things. And so I think that's great that people come from these different backgrounds and sort of essentially just use a country like Colombia as sort of their ultimate extended experiential classroom. We have facilitated a program already for another Montana school, my rival school actually, Montana State, which was kind of ironic, but it was an interesting group of professionals / educators. And when you think of Montana, you know, you think of, you know, people working in sort of the natural resources, you know, sector, working with cattle, working with open spaces. And we put together a program for a group of educators. It was through a program called Real Montana, Real being an acronym for Resource Education, Agricultural, Agriculture and Landscape, and it was Agriculture and Leadership, excuse me, and it was, you know, a really, really sort of unique program for a lot of these students that had never left Montana or never sort of, you know, interacted with anyone else different from themselves. So it was really, really powerful.
I think it's absolutely fascinating and such an opportunity for people is to come down to this place. And I, you know, and before we sort of launch in, I know that right there beside you, we've got Sam Johnston, who's from Victoria, British Columbia, so Canada. And I know that in the second segment of the show, we'll start with him and his experiences, but he's come down with you. And so, I mean, when someone like Sam gets in touch, you say, well, hang on a second. You're looking for a business experience. You're looking for an agricultural experience. You're looking for something else. I mean, you basically completely tether it to that person and what they are looking for, I am sure.
Yeah, it was interesting how I met Sam Johnston here. We were both on part of a delegation trip working with Mayan coffee farmers down in Chiapas, Mexico. And, you know, it was an amazing experience. And I told Sam, I'd mentioned what I was doing, my work with the Colombian Project. And he, you know, mentioned that he was getting ready to graduate from Adrian College there in Michigan. So we shared that Michigan connection as well, the coffee connection, and really just hit it off. And I sort of just asked him, you know, what was next? And I said, had you thought about, you know, a country like Colombia? And we you know, talked a little bit. And actually from one of your other guests, Pablo Restrepo and Paloma Angostura, I sort of made the connection there and put Sam in contact with Pablo, and here he is working with the Paloma Angostura. He can probably tell you a lot better about, you know, what he's doing and his experience. So it's been great so far.
Well, I feel a warm and fuzzy feeling, you know, that I was able to put people together a little bit just by this podcast. And let me just shout out a little bit more. I'd like to say thank you to my listeners who have signed up. And I've seen recently some of the Instagram posts signed up and gone on the Bogota and Beyond Septima Challenge this week. Thank you for that. I know that we're all happy that you know, through this ether of social media, your podcasts and so on and so forth. We're spreading the word about Colombia and things to do and how to participate in this country. So, yes, we're talking to Simon Winograd. We'll be talking to Sam Johnston shortly. And, yes, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk about this experience that Sam has been having here in Colombia and what he's doing with another of our interviewees. That's always Pablo Restrepo of Paloma and Angostura. Very, very interesting outfit employing ex-combatants in Bosa to make fashionable clothing wear. So we'll be take a short break. This is Colombia Calling, episode 193. I'm Richard McColl. Please don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McColl here in Mompox, Colombia. So in the colonial, the beating heart of the colonial forgotten lands of Colombia, up on the Magdalena River, it's 38 degrees right now. We have no power, but that's okay because we're recording. We're here with Simon Winograd, who's been working, well, here alongside the Colombian Project, but he's developing faculty-led programs for U.S. students, Canadian students, and so on, so they can come down here to Colombia and learn. You know, not only bring their knowledge, but learn about the realities of Colombia. But I'm going to say hi right now to Sam Johnston, who's originally from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. And he is down there. He is down here in Bogota on one of these, let's say, he's a case study for one of these trips down here. And I don't know how to say trips, but one of these, let's say, Sam, welcome on Colombia Calling. It's best that you explain what you're doing.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yes, you're most welcome. So, Sam, you met Simon up there in Chiapas, Mexico, and something clicked. Something clicked, and you said, "I'm going to Colombia."
That's right. Well, like Simon already told you, we met on a delegation trip with Cooperative Coffees and Maya Vanique in Chiapas, Mexico. And on that trip, I was kind of telling Simon my interest in working in social entrepreneurship and socially orientated business. And after returning from the trip, Simon contacted me and told me about his work with the Colombian Project and told me about this clothing company, Paloma y Angostura, which is a pending B Corp here in Bogota, and asked me if there was... there's any way I'd be interested in doing some kind of internship with them. And it just so happened that I needed to do some kind of immersion experience to complete the final requirement for my Spanish major. I graduated with a double major in business and Spanish. And typically, language majors have to spend a semester abroad. But with me playing hockey at Adrian College too, I didn't want to miss the hockey season spans both semesters, so I didn't want to miss a semester of hockey. So after talking to administration, I asked them if they would accept me doing a internship abroad rather than an actual semester of enrollment as my immersion experience. And after working with them for a bit, we worked out an agreement, and it worked out well that this experience with Paloma y Angostura and with Discover Colombia would work for my major.
This is excellent. And of course, we're talking ice hockey, right? I mean, I'd say ice hockey as a Brit.
That's right. I forget that when I'm outside of Canada.
Although when I'm talking to my Canadian friends, I do say hockey as well. I'm a long-suffering Flames fan, so I have to. I understand. It's all right. That's all right. Fantastic. So anyway, you said, well, that's it. That's I want to go down. You worked out. An agreement with your university, and you came down. And so far, you've been how long in Colombia, and for how long will you be here?
I'm approaching 6 weeks in Bogota, and I'll be here for at least another 6 weeks, so 3 months in total.
That's a good amount of time. You get a good experience under your belt. You get to know what's going on in the country and what's going on in the city. And tell me about this, the company. Well, I know of the company because I've interviewed and met Pablo on several occasions, and bizarrely, he was also an undergrad at the same university I went to in the UK. So, small world, things coming together there. But tell me about how it's been with Paloma and Angostura, and perhaps you could tell the listeners a little bit about the company too.
Absolutely. Well, so far it's gone really well. Since being here, I've learned a lot about the history of the company, and essentially Well, Pablo was working with, he had an internship with the Colombian Agency for Reintegration. So there he was working with a lot of the displaced former combatants that were in the reintegration process back into society. And through that internship, he realized a lot of the challenges that face these former combatants and how they're often discriminated against and stigmatized, and how that can lead to a lot of problems finding employment when they're trying to reintegrate into society. So from that experience, Pablo was inspired to create a company that could help these former combatants. And from that internship, he founded Paloma y Angostura, which is a sustainable fashion label, which makes really, really nice, simple, simply designed pieces of clothing using sustainable materials. And all of the clothing is manufactured by former combatants in a workshop in the south of Bogota.
I find it so interesting. This, of course, it's something that's close to my heart. That former combatants should be included back into society, because, of course, as you say, the stigma, the reality, and a lot of Colombians obviously can't get their mind around this possibility. You know, they're not seen as humans, they're not seen as people who belong in society. And even President Santos, when he was the Minister for Defense under Álvaro Uribe, would refer to them as rats. So it's all, I mean, this sort of difference in the way in the language and the terminology that's been used to describe people who really had few options in life, let's say, if they're from very poor, isolated rural communities. Paloma and Angostura are doing a really good thing. So, Sam, tell me something. Have you been down to the workshops and seen the seamstresses working down there in Bosa?
I was down there very quickly with some of the other employees of Paloma y Angostura to pick up some material, but just given our time constraints, I didn't quite have time to actually go in and meet the seamstresses working on the working with the material. So I'm hoping in the near future that I can actually go and meet them firsthand and kind of get some more experience with that.
Yeah, because I think that would be fascinating as well, to be able to talk to them, maybe hear a bit of their experiences in life. There's one thing that from that interview that I had with Pablo Restrepo and his associate Leslie as well, Arango, I believe her name is Leslie Arango, from all those months ago, is one of the things he said is that maybe some of the people who are former combatants from the paramilitary side of things have complained about the seamstresses from the FARC side of things, so the leftist or the ELN side of things, leftist side of things, the guerrilla side of things, that they're too political in their diatribes on occasion, which I found very interesting indeed, because of course there is there's an absolute sort of indoctrination when you are in the guerrillas, the afternoons reading Marx and being taught about the rights of man and so on and so forth. And so very interesting that those who are ex-combatants of the right, criticize those who are ex-combatants of the left because of their political leanings. But of course, dialogue is good. These things, people talk together and they see one another as humans and get over the stigma. And let's say, Sam, you're a guy, you're a hockey player, so you're a big guy, you're out there, has this experience, which is really second to none, really unbelievable, how has it met or has it met your expectations when you signed up to come on down?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great to, there's one kind of learning that goes on in a classroom, and there's another kind of learning that goes on when you're actually in a real work environment. So it's been a great learning experience to be in this fast-paced, on-the-go startup environment. In my most recent blog post, I talked about how it kind of feels like we're in a garage band, except instead of looking for venues that will let us play, we're looking for cafes that will let us use their Wi-Fi. So it's been a great experience in that sense. And also just being around these people that are so entrepreneurially orientated is great, because I really see myself, having some own projects of mine in the future. So to learn from what Pablo and his team has done here has been a great experience. And obviously the the humbling experience of being in a culture where I'm continually trying to improve my Spanish and making sure that I'm clearly understood and that I'm understanding everything else that's being said around me has been a humbling and a very valuable learning experience too.
Well, of course, it will do you a world of good for your Spanish level, of course, indeed. Well, explain to us a little bit about, let's say, your day-to-day routine with Paloma and Angostura, so potential students out there can hear about what might be on their plate if they sign up for something with the Colombian project.
For sure. Well, I had a fair amount of experience in digital marketing before coming down here, so that was something that I stressed as important to Simon when creating this program, as I wanted something in line with what I had done in the past in terms of work experience. So for Paloma y Angostura, we often meet in the north part of town, so that involves about a half-hour walk from my place in Chapinero, and we'll meet up to work, and that usually involves a number of things, but for me a lot of the things that I've been focusing on is improving their desktop and mobile website, because online sales are something that they're really trying to convert for their business, and it's been a bit of a challenge because from what I understand and from what I've experienced, there isn't quite the same trust in e-commerce here in Latin America as there is in Canada and the US and North America in general. So trying to make that process as easy as possible for consumers, I think, is something that we really need to focus on as a group here. And then another project that we've really been focusing on lately is the fair, the Budo Fair. So we have this big retail fair in the north of Bogota starting on the 15th, I believe, where we're really trying to get all our ducks in a row for that, so that we have all the products that we need to sell, and there's been a big investment time-wise and financially to prepare for this fair, so we're really trying to make sure that we've got everything in order for next week.
It's so much fun. What you say about e-commerce is completely true. You know, I have my little hotel up here in Mompox, and there's an online booking system, and it's safe and it's secure, and Europeans and North Americans will book online through the widget on my website or through the booking system, and it's fine. It goes through credit card, etc. But Colombians, even if they call up, will prefer not to do that. They prefer not to go online and do their booking. They will prefer to walk to the bank or do their money transfer into my bank account that way. Or indeed, they see a big international firm like Booking.com as safer and doing it that way. But of course, that's no interest to me because, of course, they charge 16%. But that's another story. But it's very interesting to see that practice. And I think it's because when you look at things like Mercado Libre and other pages like that, there's so little filtering, and you can do a lot of scams on these websites. So it's very, very, very good that someone's coming in from outside to work on this for the online sales, because of course, for a company of the size, but of course growing at all times, of Paloma and Angostura, it's so important to do online sales and online sales pitches and so on and so forth, and that people can see what's going on. So I think that's fantastic indeed. But what can I say? Let's move on a little bit. Let's move on a little bit to say about, well, life in Bogota, Sam. How have you found that? Because sometimes it's a pretty hard city to adapt to. But 6 weeks in, you know where you stand in Bogota. How are you finding it?
For sure. Well, it's been an adjustment. It's I've heard it compared, or I've heard it's called the New York City of Colombia, which I think is a fairly safe comparison. You know, it's a big city, and with that comes a lot of culture. There's a lot of really cool places to explore here, and I've done my due diligence and kind of sussing out my favorite spots. I can't say I'm in love with the traffic or the noise that comes from the nightclubs outside my apartment, but that's all part of the immersion. What's more is I've actually had the opportunity to do a little bit of exploring throughout Colombia, And I recently did a trip through the Paisa region. So went to Medellin and Salento, Santa Fe de Antioquia, Santa Rosa. So it was really cool to kind of, you know, since being here, everyone's told me how Colombia is really unique and that it's almost six different countries combined, with each different region having their own mentality, their own dialect. So it was really cool to just see how different the Zona Cafetera and the Paisa region was in relation to Bogota. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it's important, this, because Bogota is not indicative of the whole country. And when you get out to Paisa region, of course, they don't look to Bogota. You know, they look to Medellin, and Medellin doesn't look to Bogota either, but it looks north. And so it's very important to weigh these things up. And tell us, just as I sign off with you, Sam, and thank you so much for your time and your, you know, sharing your experience. Just tell my listeners what your blog is, so that they can perhaps, you know, some, again, potential students out there can check it out and see what you're writing about.
For sure, yeah. I've been writing at projectpaloma.com.
Projectpaloma.com. So it's the blog for Paloma y Angostura, or it's your own blog?
Well, it's my own personal blog, but Pablo's been happy with the content that I've been producing, so he's actually linked that to the Paloma y Angostura website.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. So, Sam, thank you so much for your time, and we'll just get back on the line now with Simon as we close down this interview. It's been really interesting, because I think this is something that's a real growth market and can really benefit both societies, North American and Colombian, with this kind of sort of cultural interchange and exchange of ideas. And look at this, you know, a young man with a real knowledge of the sort of digital marketing and business coming down and helping out a Colombian, an altruistic company. I really, really do urge you to check out the Paloma y Angostura website and their products, because I know, for example, they are selling in the exclusive shop in London in Liberty. So that shows the kind of quality that they're producing. So, Sam, thank you, and I'll bring in Simon again. And Simon, I mean, you set all this up, but you've got your own irons in the fire as well. I mean, you were telling me not so long ago that you've been kind of working with coffee producers affected by landmines. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So, you know, alongside the sort of international education work I do, I still also work in the development sector a little bit. Albeit it's changed a little bit as the development sector tends to do. But yeah, here at the end of the month, I'll be traveling down to Cauca, working alongside an organization called the Polis Center, and they work with victims of conflict, of war all over the world, and I will be working alongside with them to devise essentially, training manuals, training protocols to work directly with coffee producers who have been affected by landmines. You know, there's a lot of funding, a lot of money that goes into, landmine education and landmine removal, but there's, ironically enough, there's not a lot of money going directly towards working directly with the victims in this approach, this model called model coherency approach, which is essentially just talking with these people and learning from those who know best, being the victims themselves, what can be done to sort of improve their lives, their livelihoods. How can we best assist them to continue with their line of work, and in this case being producing coffee?
This is, again, fascinating. So you'll be just down there making, providing workshops and showing how people can be educated towards, let's say, working with smallholders, coffee farmers in the Cauca region. Now, Cauca, of course, one of the most complicated departments of Colombia. Are you prepared for this?
I think so. You know, I've been fortunate enough to work with other, small coffee farmers, cooperatives and things around in Latin America. And one of the things I love about it is that it's all different. You know, the small coffee farmer and say that Sam and I are familiar with in Chiapas will be very different from
the small coffee farmer here in Colombia, in Cauca or Santa Marta or Sierra Nevada. And that's part of the fascination for me is that, you know, they'll share a common language in Spanish, but they think differently. They approach their livelihood differently. And so the only way to really sort of to figure out the best way to help them or to assist them is just to talk directly to them. I've spent a little bit of time down in Cauca before. I love that area. I sort of share Sam's take on Bogota, the capital here, even though it's where I was born. It's where I sort of entered this planet. I've tried to be a city guy. I live in Manhattan, but in all reality, I'm not as much of a city guy as I thought. So I enjoy getting out to the country when I can. I just immediately reduce in stress. And so I look forward to going down there and being out in El Campo and talking with the people. And I think I am ready for it, Richard.
I think so, too. So, but you're not going to be demining or anything like that. You're not going to be putting yourself at risk, are you?
No. We will essentially be interviewing about 20 people and really just... and we bring in, again, this is also goes along with the sort of work that I used to do and sort of this, you know, this term gets thrown around a lot, this service learning term. But we'll be bringing in other volunteers who will actually help with the interview process. And then once all the interviews are conducted, you know, the data compiled and really turned into, procedure protocols and how to best assist these victims, you know, whether they need, you know, psychological services, support networks, prosthetics. You know, I'm sure you know, Richard, some of the horror stories of people who have had, you know, say, limbs, taken from them with these horrible devices and literally making sort of prosthetic limbs themselves, whether it's, They need some help. You know, lots of these services are many, many miles away over some of the most impassable terrain. And so just, you know, finding out what they need and what they need to help them is essentially. And also I left out, which is a big part, Richard, is really just making them feel human again, making them feel wanted and a part of society, because a lot of them we've come across is that they almost feel like it's their fault. You know, they feel that it's something that they've done wrong when they've been affected by these things. And so the first part we like to do is to just make them feel human again and make them feel that they are of worth. And so I think that's a huge part that I skipped over.
I don't think you skipped that. I think it's incredibly important that you brought that in, and I think it's fascinating as well, as I said. It's just so good to hear from people doing stuff here in Colombia. That's what I like. That's why when you got in touch, you said, I'd like to be on the show again, this time with Sam. Of course, I leapt at the opportunity because really, you know, people coming down to Colombia to participate, to share their knowledge, and not only share their knowledge, is to learn from what is going on, what has gone on, and what can go on in the future here in Colombia. So I think I'll just take this moment. And Simon, do you have a website that you can direct anyone to check out what you're doing and check out if they want to be an intern or have experience down here in Colombia?
Yeah, I would direct people to the Colombian Project website, where there's an academics tab mm-hmm. on that website. And you know, the truth of the matter is, Richard, and to everybody who's listening, you know, the Colombian Project is a specialty tour agency. And when I joined them with my background and work in international education, you know, we're doing both now. And I think that's where our strength is. And you know, some institutions, you know, circles might see that, are you a tourist agency? Are you an academic services provider? And my short answer would be we're both. And that I see that as a strength for us, and that we have, you know, the infrastructure, all the contacts down here, whether it's ground support, you know, connections with some of the top universities, top, you know, botanists and entomologists here in the university. So we have the contacts. And we are more than able to, you know, put together,
you know, for a faculty who wants to approach us to sort of flush out their ideal program. And also, as we talked about with Sam, who's doing, you know, sort of a groundbreaking internship here in Colombia. So, you know, we do a little bit of all internships, shorter term programs, and you can find out about all that on the Colombian Academics, the Colombian Project Academics section of their website.
Okay, well, there you go. There you have it. This has been a fantastic episode. Thank you again, Sam Johnston from British Columbia, Victoria, BC, and Simon Winograd, a second time interviewee on Columbia Calling. So thank you. Yes, really a profound thanks to you guys for sharing your thoughts and what is going on and what you're doing here in Columbia. So we'll sign off now for today. This has been episode 193 of Columbia Calling. Of course, get in touch. That's ColumbiaCalling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, all the usual things. You can find us. Drop us a line. I will respond to every email that I get, and of course read out the best ones, and maybe they'll lead to an interview, maybe they'll lead to another episode. So we'll be back next week with episode 194. I believe we're going to be with Dave Proctor of the Legend of El Dorado Mountain Bike Race. So there's a new edition of that this year, the second year it's been running. Very, very popular mountain bike race, and we'll be talking about that as the, let's say, the enthusiasm ramps up, because it's taking place next month, if I'm not mistaken. So again, thank you again, Simon and Sam. That's Columbia Calling signing off today. You're most welcome. You're most welcome, guys. We're signing off, and please be sure to share the show and sign in again next week. Bye-bye.